The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And the levee's breaking because we're tired of what the government's pulling on us. This is Poke the Hornet's Nest. Nick, I am, and Doug, he is.
Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Doug.
How the heck are you?
Hey, I got it popping, man. We're taking off. We're heading in the rocket ship. We got things to talk about today. Can you believe the city of Reading wants a 1 cent sales tax? I've got some examples of taxes you don't even know they're taxing us for.
Oh, I completely believe that. And, the great governor of the state of California and the Democrats want to, tax every mile. They've got a bill going through that if they can put it through, it could be like 5 or 6 cents per mile that you drive. You're going to get taxed on top of your gasoline tax. Let that one sink in.
Well, they need raise.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing a fine job. Well, anyway, you know, there's lots of things going on. And we're going to get to it. There's one thing that really stuck out, and it was the Air Pollution Control Board meeting this last week.
Yes.
And I have never gone to one of those, and I was listening, and the chair, Kevin Cry, brought to our attention that there was some kind of fee, and I'm not real clear what the fee was, if it was a vehicle fee, a parcel fee, or a fee for each business in town or each person, but it was 35 cents.
Oh.
And it was brought, it came up in 2016 and 17, maybe 15 and 16, when Leonard Modi, David Keogh, and Les Baugh were on the board, and they chose to ignore that. And guess what?
What?
It's going to cost us maybe up to $500,000 because they chose to ignore it.
Oh, sounds like a smart decision.
Well, that's the kind of thing that's being uncovered by the county and by our current board of supervisors.
Yeah.
And, you know, people just don't realize what a poor job they've done looking after our resources. And it's just disgusting, and there's more every day.
Well, you know, it's funny is you keep reading this stuff. I saw the articles about Magrini and, that stuff that's coming through, and he's thinking about filing a suit.
Oh, he has.
Well, I know, but I'm saying you just – and he blamed Kevin Cry and this and that. He was a terrible sheriff. They tried to buy him off with a higher position. And this corruption, you know, the health person who resigned and all these other people that are resigning, they were all corrupt, liberal kleptocrats. They're terrible. And so now we're getting to a point where we're starting to see what the heck they were doing, the malfeasance, the misgoverning, I guess would be the right word. And people are like, oh my God, this new board, they're just out of control. No, they're discovering. It's kind of like, you know, Doge, or kind of like Elon Musk.
Absolutely.
They're finding this stuff, and they, people are getting, well, you know, this is not called for. And it's like, it's exactly what we need. We need to clear house.
Well, you know, the thing about Eric McGreaney is I feel sorry for the poor guy. You know, he was arrogant. I tried to be nice to him a few times, and he was just terribly arrogant to me. And, you know, I was reading why he's suing the county, and it's pain and suffering, and they have soiled his reputation so bad he can't get another job in the public sector. The poor guy sucked the government's tit his whole damn life, and now he's unemployed, and he can't get a job sucking the government's hind tit.
Or maybe his reputation precedes him. Sometimes that actually happens. You know, when you're a crappy person, people find out about it. Hey, Nick, before we go any further, for Dad, we're doing this for Dad.
Daddy, listen up.
Daddy alert. KCNR, 1460 AM, KCNR 96.5 FM, and KCNR 1460.com. Now,
if you didn't know where you're listening,
because you're listening to it already, but we are required to say it at least once a show. There we go. I've done it. We're on our way.
What's the, you know, we've skipped a couple of times. We should find out what the fine is for not saying that and maybe pay up.
Anyway, now, I'm sure if there's a fine, Carl would have let us know.
Well, you've got a point there.
Well, Nick, I want the people to know, you know, you and I talk about this and I make jokes about it, but, you know, we really have limited contact between shows. I mean, you and I may have one call, maybe two, to touch on something that's really a hot button issue.
I contacted you yesterday. I said, are you coming tomorrow? Well, you didn't even reply.
Well, here's the point I was going to make. This time, this last 2 weeks was a particularly active Nick session. I counted 18 emails from you, and some of them were like 45-minute videos. So I want to say thank you. That was a new record for our communications between shows.
Well,
impressive.
You know, some of them are just emails. I know you don't have time to listen to, but sometimes you just get you get the gist of it.
I try to get through all of them. I really do. I want you to know, I do try to watch what it is so that you and I have something to talk about. But this week was kind of like, there's three more from Nick. Oh, wait, there's two more from Nick. That was pretty impressive.
They were all interesting, weren't they?
Well, there was a lot of good stuff in there.
Oh, boy. You know, people don't realize what's going on. And I'm really stuck on these podcasts now. Tucker Carlson's got a wonderful podcast. I signed up for it and paid him $60 a year, and I get the inside scoop. But he gets people on there that he had yesterday. He had a guy on there. His name escapes me. His mind does once in a while escape me. But he had a guy on there that's been on the front lines with the Russian troops since the start of the war.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
And what did he say? Because I've watched a bunch of video. You can find the Ukrainian propaganda on the internet. You can't find anything about Russia, but you can find the Ukrainian propaganda about how great they're doing and how they're just pushing back the Russians. But I got to be honest, the modern warfare is I've never been there, folks. I'm not going to sit there and claim some higher ground. I can't imagine a army person in World War I had any joy. Two, Vietnam, Korea, move on. But this new era of drone stuff is scary.
Oh, gosh. They have suicide drones.
Oh, yeah.
And they're hooked to a fiber optic cable, real thin cable, that'll go 30, 35 kilometers. And some guy's back there running it, looking to see where he wants to suicide this drone on him.
Yep, I know. It's crazy. So what did you learn about the guy who was on the front lines of cars, Tucker?
You know, he's got a whole different take on Russia's position and that they are actually doing good. He mentioned a couple of the territories that they have taken. The people voted they wanted to go back into Russia.
Yep.
And
well, I mean, I said this when the war first started. You and I had a show, and we brought Tony, my coworker, who is Russian, and she felt horrible, and her country, this, that, and the other. And I said, Tony, history's going to reveal. Now, Vladimir Putin's not a good guy. Let's be very clear. I'm not saying he's a good guy. But history's going to prove this was a justified reason to attack. I mean, when you go back to what was the things, the red lines that Putin has been putting out since the Obama overthrow of the Ukrainian government in 2014, he hasn't changed it from the first day of the war to today. First off, the Ukrainians, as soon as Obama put their people in there, the Azov Battalion, which is a Nazi, I mean, they actually have a Nazi symbol, they have a Nazi salute, they are Nazi-isms, they began attacking the eastern Donbas region, Russian-speaking Ukrainians. And after many years, and then Trump came in and told Putin that he couldn't do anything, so the western Ukrainians were killing the eastern Ukrainians. And even by the UN's own estimates, they had it between 12 and 15,000 people. Not exactly a right-wing conspiracy setup. So finally, old Donnie leaves, and Joey Piccadillo gets in there, and they go at it. And the Crimea region wanted to be Russian. I mean, so they voted to go Russia. The Donbas region voted because otherwise they were getting killed by the Western Ukrainians. So this one there, and he said, no NATO, no more killing Russian-speaking things, and let's set up an autonomous region between us, between Russia and Ukraine. That's the Donbas region. That's all he's been asking for. But no NATO is the biggest one. So when you say that this guy says there's some positive things going from Russia, I don't know. I can tell you the decimation looks pretty horrendous. But this is a situation where, you know, if Russia was putting missiles on the other side of Tijuana, I'm sure we'd be a little worked up about it.
Well, you know, I started looking at, thinking of why in the heck are we in the Ukraine when it's the worst, the most corrupt nation in the world.
Now you're lying. It's second to Burma.
They've got, they're accused of having bio labs in there.
43 to be exact.
I was going to say more than just one or two. But, you know, I started thinking about the despicable way we abandoned Afghanistan when we left Afghanistan.
Yep.
How's that compared to the way we left Vietnam? And look at the same way we got into all three of these wars.
Yep.
You know, there's just a direct relationship with it. And I believe it's all Democrats.
Well, you know, the thing is Vietnam was actually a French war, and then the French asked us for some military advisors, and somehow, next thing you know, the French are going out the back door like the French with no spine do. They backed away, and next thing it became our war. Afghanistan, you know, now we know all these years later that, you know, we didn't need to attack Iraq. Saddam was not making weapons of mass destruction, even though he had all the material. He wasn't doing it actively enough to make an issue in the world. Afghanistan was harboring the terrorists, but we were able to get them out reasonably quickly within a couple years.
Oh, we could have had them out in 6 weeks when they had them surrounded in Tora Bora, that soccer stadium.
Oh, yeah.
They could have dumped a bomb on that and said, you guys don't want us to come back.
But the problem is, it's, you know,
they're not making enough money. That's what happens when you get it over too quick.
Well, the thing is, that's what I say. Dwight Eisenhower warned against the military-industrial complex, and, you know, we have spent trillions of dollars in these losing conflicts, shall we call it, Ukraine some now, Afghanistan and Iraq. And for the folks who went over, I mean, my gosh, absolute praise, because you guys were sent to some pretty horrible stuff, but we didn't need to be there. And they're trying their damnedest to get us into Ukraine. And if Joe and Camel had stayed in there, we would have been in Ukraine. And we're there. I mean, let's call a spade, Nick.
Well, we're fighting that war. We're just using them as the soldiers.
Well, not even
that. We're supplying everything.
Well, yeah, but even worse than that is the Ukrainians are using our high-tech missiles, and they can't program it. So whenever you hear about a Ukrainian missile has gone into the heart of Russia, it was programmed by an American or a British personnel. That's to me, that seems like we're probably pretty much pulling the trigger for the bullets, is what I'm seeing as. And then you've got the Hawks that are trying like hell. I read something that said Hegseth is really against it, and so is Trump, so hopefully some cool heads prevail. But there are a bunch of Hawks in his thing, Rubio et al., that want to do something against Iran. And we don't need to go back into the Middle East like that. That's just going to be a mess.
Well, we can't let Iran get a nuclear bomb either.
Well,
if we have to take care of that problem, we should. I imagine we'll use Israel to take care of it.
Yeah, but that's the problem. Israel is not Israel. Israel without us is not going to stand up. They're not
going
to make
it. That's absolutely right. But Iran to have the bomb?
Well, the stuff I'm reading that I think is relatively accurate is since the original sanctions went on, the repeated visits by the Nuclear Atomic Agency. Now, could they be bought? Absolutely. But so far, there is not any credible evidence that they're actually making a nuclear bomb or stepping to it. Now, they are enriching uranium, but it's up to some like 25%, which is necessary for nuclear power. You need to enrich it more for nuclear weapons. But, you know, we proved that we could cripple Iran with sanctions. We had them down on the knees when old Barry decided to have the Arab Spring, And then they had internal revolt, and when they were looking for American support, old Barry pulled everything out that we were supporting, and they got crushed and killed. So we know we can control Iran pretty convincingly if we just shut off their money. So going in there and risking American lives again, it just doesn't seem like a good plan to me.
I don't think we'll have a war where we send troops in. I mean, massive hundreds of thousands of troops. We're going to have a war that's fought from space, probably.
Well, I saw a really very concerning, deeply concerning video, and it was talking about how in the new war, it's already being programmed and planned by the Pentagon, is AI.
Yeah.
And it showed this, and it was some defense video that got put out. Now, was it legit? It looked pretty dang real to me. Is these big cargo jets, you know, the C-130s, they put pallets full of drones, and they push them out the back of the plane over the target, and the drones just pull apart. They pull apart, and then you could have 5,000-10,000 drones controlled by AI, and they just go out individually targeting people. I mean, that's crazy. That's
homeless.
Crazy.
You're talking about homeless. When
no,
you
I'm,
say drones.
I'm talking. Yeah, I'm talking about a one plane flies over, it drops these drones, and AI will then target individually each drone to soldiers. So
it's getting to be a spooky old world,
isn't it?
You know what's going to happen? We've invented this weapon now, the tens of thousands of drones, and we'll give it to the enemy here in about 5 years, and we'll have to worry about them dumping it on us.
Oh, well, crap. I mean, Ukraine is proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. They've already got Chinese drones. They don't need our drones. Russia has Chinese drones. It's not 5 years down the road, Nick. They're here today, my friend. So, when you and I were talking before the show on what we're going to talk about today, you know, back in the, I kind of missed the Camel and Biden days because it was absolutely so corrupt and stupid from liberals. It was always something bad to talk about. Now it's a different kind of bad because now, we're seeing these policies come out and you see these, I was talking to a guy yesterday who was telling me the stories and I haven't been able to verify it, but he's pretty straight up that there have been now a couple cases where judges were incensed that ICE was waiting for criminals who were going to be deported after their hearing.
Absolutely. They've arrested one judge for...
He said they've arrested two judges for harboring illegals.
On the one judge, she sent the...
out the back door.
Yes.
I mean, but think about it, that's America.
ICE is waiting in front for him.
That's how crazy liberal stupidity is. They've got a criminal gang member who attacked people going to court, and you have a liberal-appointed judge saying, well, and tries to sneak the gang member out the back of the court and keep him from getting to ICE. And I hope that woman spends many years in prison, and any other judge that does it spends many years in prison. And then I think they should get stripped of all their wealth to go back to the victims who were hammered by these gang members, because those are the kind of stories you're kind of getting out now. You didn't really hear much about that back in there because ICE wasn't able to do anything. So now you're starting to hear that stuff.
Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah, TDS.
I was in the Mount Shasta Mall Friday.
Yeah.
And I was talking to these two old gals, a little bit older than me, maybe the same age. And I said, did you hear what Trump, the executive order Trump signed? No, what's that? He signed an executive order saying we're going to have Christmas twice a year. And this one old bag looked at me and she says, anything to cost us money. Oh, my God. You can't even laugh at a joke like that.
No, there is no humor in Liberalville. They've got to be angry about everything all the time.
So we need to talk about
the
1 cent sales tax the city wants to put on. I've got some stuff here, and I've got a couple examples. We're not going to get to all of it, but let's get it started. What we are experiencing is a progressive agenda gone crazy. These liberal Democrats bump their salaries, invent programs that require more bureaucrats to run them, all at the taxpayers' expense, and then going over budget, they want us to give them more tax money to spend. A group of Reading community leaders and... one of them is this gal, Erica Jones, and I've never heard of her. Her husband, Todd, is the head of...
He's now of the Rotary. He was EDC. Todd was the head of the EDC, and I think
Chamber
he's now...
Chamber of Commerce, not Rotary Chamber. Well, anyway, here's a quote from her. I consider myself a fiscal conservative in so many ways. Doesn't that sound like Mary Rickert? What would it cost us if the measure does not pass? This is a practical solution that doesn't just fall on the shoulders of local taxpayers. The cost is also spread out over people who are visiting. Well, I remember when Mike Littal was on Carl Bott's show about 6 weeks before this citizens generated tax came out, and he was talking about this tax and how they were going to put signs on roads of this tax will fix this road.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about this, and he told us how Reading's budget is just cut to the bone. They can't afford anything else.
And then we went through last show. We talked about the salaries of our senior leaders and how they exceed, you know, like-kind cities by $200,000.
There's 227 people working for the city of Reading that are making over $200,000 a year. That's their benefits and their retirement.
Yep. Yeah.
Obligation. That's what it costs us.
Yes. And then that's future obligation, because then when those folks retire, they get a huge pension as well, which now it's got to be funded as well. So why don't we cut back pensions and salaries?
They invested their money in the stock market. They chose to do that instead of going into Social Security. And when they lose their ass, we got to make up that loss.
That's the difference.
That's called unfunded pension liabilities.
That's my point.
And then they say, you know, the sales tax in Reading would go from 7.25 to 8.25. We've got the cheapest sales tax in, along with five or six other cities in California, and they go all the way up to 11.5%.
Wow.
But you know, that 1 cent, and I didn't understand that. I thought that was 1%. But 1 cent divided into 7.25, that means it's a 13% increase in taxes. You follow that?
Yeah.
And I didn't understand that. So they want a 13% raise in our sales taxes.
Well, yeah. I mean, and again, it's a general tax, so it's going to go into the general fund. And even though they have this grand, it's going to fix roads, it's going to be this and law enforcement, once it goes in the general fund, it is at the whim of the city council every year.
Oh, my God, you are so wrong.
What?
Annual audits would be done to verify the funds are spent correctly. Two, the city council would appoint people to a citizens advisory committee to provide more oversight.
That's what we need. We need more committees, more government oversight. That's exactly
more liberals. More Bethelites.
Well, my point being is, you know, when it's a specific tax, it says it must go for, you know, fire, police, whatever. It's got to meet a threshold. I think it's 60%. When it's a general tax, it's got to be 50 plus one, and this is just a general tax.
Well, no, it's not general. When it's a citizens-led specific tax, it only needs 50 plus one.
Oh, okay.
And that's why it went to a citizens committee instead of the city proposing it, because then it would have needed the two-thirds.
Gotcha. So, but it still goes in the general fund, does it not? Or no? In this
no.
case? So this one is actually a specific tax.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But, you know, there's no provision in there to say, let's use for an example, Parks and Rec. Say they're getting $10 million from the city general fund to run Parks and Recs. This passes. They get 10 more million. There's nothing to say the city can't pull their 10 million out and say, take off.
Well, that's my point. It's
that
only,
was my point.
Well, my point being is that it's only as valid as each city council and what they're going to do every year.
That's right.
And so, and once you get a tax, undoing the tax is nigh impossible. So once, if it gets passed, it's not going back down to 7.25 anytime in the future.
I'll tell you how I would vote for this. If it was 5 years, and in 5 years the people get to vote on it again.
Oh, there you go.
And a freeze for raises for 5 years.
Yeah.
And if we're not satisfied in 5 years what they've done with our money.
It expires. It goes away automatically.
Or we can vote to say, hey, you're doing a good job. Let's keep it going for another 5 years.
Yeah.
But an open-end $30 million, nah, forget it, folks.
Well, I think that they need to have it where it has an expiration and then only by an approved passing of a new extension by voting, because if you don't do that, then you have to vote it out.
That's the big words I was looking for.
See? Go to college, son.
Okay, we're going to go to a break, so anytime you're ready. Tracy Edwards is all on board for this. She's the CEO of Wind River. But you know, Wind River doesn't pay any sales tax.
Ah.
They're a sovereign nation.
Yeah.
And they're going to be outside the city limits.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a strip mall down there, and you're going to see some of these businesses go down to the strip mall because they don't have to pay sales tax. You know what a 1 cent sales tax will do to $100,000 piece of equipment? That's $1,000 added to it. You go up here to Caterpillar Drive, some of Pape Caterpillar, John Deere, some of them. Some of those machines are three-quarters $1 million. $1 million, that would be $10,000 extra sales tax with that 1 cent.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect these guys would drive to Red Bluff to buy that piece of equipment. Even if, Orville.
If the rate's
$10,000.
If the rate's low enough, yep.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Yep. Oh, and then they claim it's going to be out-of-town visitors. Mike Latos said that out-of-town visitors will pay 50% of this tax. The tourists pay 50% of the sales tax when they come to Redding.
Yeah.
I think that they walk across the Sundial Bridge and say, yeah, let's get out of here. It's too hot. I've seen it. We don't need to stop here again. But they got the Sheraton. I understand it costs you $5 to drive by and look at the sign.
Oh, I'll tell you a story about the Sheraton. Why don't we go to break, and then I'll tell you a story about the Sheraton.
Okay.
All right.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
Need help with your health insurance? We've got you covered. At Shasta Community Health Center, we offer this free service to our community. Our enrollment counselors can assist you with new applications, renewals, troubleshooting, and answering your questions about covered California plans or Medi-Cal, also known as Medicaid or Partnership Health Plan. We're here to help you make the best choice for you and your family. Call our outreach and enrollment team at 530-229-5117 to get help today. Shasta Community Health Center, because SCA cares.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Mimi Mosley here from Mosley Family Sellers. We'd just like to thank Redding Rancheria for their generous gift to us. It was so helpful and helped to keep us alive.
Hi, I'm Shelby Mahara with Squishy Doodle Face Painting, and I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Redding Rancheria for all of their support. They always help the community and always help to take care of us when they can.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
And we're back, Nick.
Sheraton.
So the Board of Realtors this last year, did their Christmas party at the Sheraton. And it was a nice affair, black and white thing. It had a theme, and it was really cool. But the food was marginal. Okay, that's how it is when you go to these banquets. I get that. But when you went to go buy your drink, I went and bought my wife and I a vodka cranberry. They had double shot of vodka because, you know, the cups or glasses are like 2 inches tall. So I said two double shot of vodka and cranberry just because I wanted to have one drink and be done.
And they charged you $7 for a splash of cranberry.
Oh, wait. No. Two of those were over $50.
No.
I actually paid like $55. I kept the receipt because it was a business write-off. $55. And I looked at the person, and it was an outdoor little bar, and I said, is this? Oh, yeah, sir, that's the price. I said, and the next person ordered, and they had two drinks, $55 in Redding, California. I will not be going back.
Let's set a rehab up right outside the bar.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Have AA meet there because people will be broke if they tried to stay drinking there. No, that was the amount of people that I talked to that night, they were like, I'm not buying another drink. Because it was so bleeping expensive, that was crazy. And it wasn't, you know, anything crazy, ridiculous. It was a stinking vodka cran that anywhere else is maybe $9-$10. $50 for two. And then they expected a tip on top of that. So there's your Sheraton story.
Wednesday, the 30th. Shasta County supervisors are having a special meeting to ask questions about the prospective ROVs, Register of Voters. They're going to have to appoint one. I think they're going to appoint it Wednesday also.
Oh.
It's at 11 o'clock out at the city of Shasta Lakes Center where their city council meets. Now, I spoke at the last meeting about this, and what you want to remember is there is no substitute for transparency, and our last election was not transparent, nor has any before this. And the only way you can predict the future is by the past.
Yep.
Joanne Francescut has effectively ran last election and the election before that.
Under the guideful experience of Kathy.
Yes, and then Tom Toler was stuck in there, and he didn't know anything, so she ran that one. And I went in there personally, and the first thing I see when I walk in is a fence or bars stuck up, and you can't go by that, and they're back there counting votes, and I'm going, boy, this doesn't look transparent to me. You had to check in and get a little badge that says visitors, and you could go upstairs and observe them counting votes. But you had to stay in the hallway, and you could look through the window, and you couldn't see three of the four machines and the people working there and what they were doing. And I compared it to a school. When you're in school, they shut the door. It's a great big thick door, and there's a window about 4x8 in the middle of the door, and you can look through, but you can't see what's going on. You can't hear what's going on. And that's about what I compare it to.
Yep.
And Laura Hobbs, who is one of the nicest people I've ever talked to, polite, soft-spoken, but to the point, she said, I can't hear what they're saying. And the person in charge there says, well, listen through the vent. The vent was 10 inches off the ground.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. And, you know, the big argument is it's going to cost us to change and do things the way we want them done, which is butt heads with the state and we'll run our own elections. That's how I feel about it. But I don't care what it costs us. What cost can you put on an honest election?
Well, and Nick, we've said this before. I've said it before. You've said it before. So we've said it before. There is a blueprint for how to run a a pretty dang honest election. It's called Florida. Florida does same-day voting, and they have the results by 12 o'clock that night.
There's no reason we can't do that.
End of story. That's it. We have a blueprint. It exists. It's successful. Copy, print, paste.
It's going to come to a head here Thursday or Wednesday, and please go to this meeting, get there early, get up and speak your piece. What I've noticed is the opposition, they yell, they use profanity, mm-hmm. they are just an unruly group. The people that are in favor of not putting Joanna in there and picking somebody else, they're polite, they're well-spoken,
yep,
they're calm.
Probably have salient
And I wonder to myself, which one of these groups would you buy an RV from?
Well, you know, the thing is, that's the liberal playbook. I've talked about it since you and I have been on this show, is, you know, the rules for radicals is you scream people down. You throw poo at the fan, and then you walk away. And they can't stand on merit. They can't stand on argument. They can't stand on facts. So they just got to scream at you. And I must say I'm disappointed that we did elect Toler. And I know that Kevin Cry says he takes a bit of the blame for that, even though it was a vote of the board. But, you know, we just put the person in there, and we're having to do it again. So I hope that it goes better this time, to be honest with you, that we get somebody who's – Nick – like I said, there is a blueprint. All you got to do is look across, fly one person down there and go, how do you guys run elections down here? And, oh, we're going to try that in Shasta County. And if the state says no, well, then screw you.
Yes.
Screw you. You know what? We just want elections where the person, be it left or right, blue, blood, whoever wins fairly.
All we want is honesty and integrity.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that we have got that statewide.
Oh, no.
And Shasta County's making a stand. That's my position. Let's get back to the tax. I don't want to run out of time on this. You know, a friend of mine, we were discussing the tax. He says, I wonder how much is in the reserves. Barry says we're down $5 million. Other sources tell me that it's closer to $8 million, talking about the city of Reading.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've got a pretty healthy reserve, but I'm not sure. And then, you know, they want this extra money, but how many entities, cities I'm talking about, have a slush fund called Reading Electric Utility, where they borrow money they don't pay back?
Very few.
They get money in lieu of taxes.
Yeah.
And, you know, you take a look at the way our city has been run. Big League Dreams is a prime example.
Yep.
You know, it was corporate welfare, and they let it run down to nothing and dump it on the taxpayer. And you know what really gripes me is the people that use Big League Dreams have to go beg the city to open it so they can use it.
Yep.
My thoughts are, we're the taxpayers. That's our facility we paid for. Open the damn thing. Get out of the way. We don't need you to run it. Just turn on the lights and keep the bathrooms open. We'll run it.
Well, and I said this earlier on one of our shows, is, you know, REU, stop with all the BS green incentives for electric bikes and solar. It's all crap that is just a scam. Take that money and use it to turn the lights on out at Big League Dreams. So instead of giving it to people to go buy an e-bike, obviously if they can buy an e-bike, they have money, for electric cars, for Tesla, for solar, instead of giving rebates to people, take that money and turn it on for the kids so they have a place to go play. That wouldn't be that, or a greatly reduced rate for the electricity, and then turn it over to a private entity who's, and I believe there's even a guy or a group that's willing to take it on under management, but it's a government kind of a thing, so they're not really hired with that person yet, is what I understand.
It would probably pay the Reading to just give it to a private entity and say, here, run it, make a profit, we'll talk about a lease here in 2 years.
No, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, all you gotta do is bring it up to snuff and away we go. And if 2 years isn't enough time for you to break even, let's make it five. But let's get our sports park open. Our citizens paid for it. They want it open.
Well, when it first opened up, I do know they were having crazy amount of softball tournaments out there. So it was busy and being used all the time. And then they just let it dilapidate. They just, the original, you know, private public entity started letting the AstroTurf go down, the paint go down. Everything was shoddy, but when it first opened and looked great, they were having a lot of activity out there.
Well, then they built their competition in Manteca. We had a lot of teams coming up from the Bay Area that would rather take a little day drive over to Manteca, take a couple hours. We could have a couple cocktails on the way and go over and play there and come back home, and instead of having to go to the Sheraton, spend $50 on a drink.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But
there's frogs in here. I've got one and you've got one.
Well, I think it's the
could
pollen.
Be the pollen. I think so.
This rain probably calmed it down a little bit.
Yeah.
I've got a guy that I email back and forth with, and he goes by the handle of the Village Idiot. Believe me, he's no idiot. He sends me some pretty good stuff. I send him some pretty good stuff. He replies. Here's one of his replies. City needs to cut administrators and their salaries. Then they will have the money to provide services. The city collects over $176 of tax per month from every utility customer. Check your bill. So I emailed him back. Could you itemize these for me? Fixed charges that must be paid simply because one lives in the city. So if you go on vacation for a month, here's fixed charges you're going to pay. You didn't use any water and you didn't use any electricity. Electric's got a fixed charge of $42. Energy charge of $22.23, a federal charge of 15 cents and a state charge of 4 cents. That's $62.42 just on your electric.
To not use it yet. You haven't used anything.
Your water service charge is $29.72. Your water commodity charge, and this is 2 at per CCF, cubic, I don't know, centimeter feet, or I don't know what that means, equals $4. So the total is $33.72. So you've spent $62.42 plus $33.72. Now solid waste, that's $35.42, and wastewater, $70.75. You're spending $176 on utilities, and you're not home.
And yeah, you haven't even turned anything on at all. Well, and the problem is, Nick, I mean, in real estate, I do understand this, and I mean this in a look at the half glass full.
Did I tell you Doug's running for city council?
No. No, but, you know, the infrastructure, the water lines, the sewer lines, it's all getting old, and that's going to need to be replaced in some point in the future. And so, you know, either they, and I'm not defending it, but either they start collecting money and have it when it's time, or, you know, it's going to be a problem down the road. And, you know, the roads are a big issue as well, and you know, they're spending money on salaries and not doing things that actually improve our life. But we've got some really well-paid people working at the city, though.
Well, the thing is, you know, they pay too much for a lot of things. A guy was giving me an example of them resurfacing a road at $1 million a mile, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Well,
everybody hoses down the government. We need a government like we have in the Shasta County supervisors that say we're not paying this much. Go back to your drawing board and come up with a cheaper price.
Well, what I will say, I learned this in Europe, at least in Holland, and I believe Germany is the same way, is the roads are maintained by private companies. They're not maintained by the government. And what happens is they're going to do a big project, whatever it is, resurface, lay down, whatever. They go and put it out to bid, and then they actually will choose a company. But here's the caveat. The company's on the hook for the next 10 years for any repairs or damage or anything done to that road, that if it isn't in good condition, they've got to send their crew back out with no reimbursement to do it. So that's why some of the roads in Europe are actually so much better, is because the private entity is doing it right the first time and not just the lowest bid, because they know they're on the hook for 10 years for any and all maintenance, and I might even been 15 years. So imagine if we had a private company that bid doing plaster, knowing that it's going to be on the hook for the next 10 or 15 years, it would probably be done really good the first time.
I agree with you. You know, I talked to a fellow that delivered oil and gas and stuff up in the Intermountain area. Jim Nolan was his name. And this was quite a few years ago he was up there. But he told me that asphalt is designed to break down in 5 years. That keeps them busy.
Well,
really? There's so many things like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the Autobahn in Germany was originally concrete. They had just miles and miles of concrete. Well, the problem with that is they've gotten away from it for the most part, because it also degrades and it's very noisy. So I don't know that you could actually have a wear-free road surface, Nick. I'm just saying. I'm not sure 5 years, and especially now, now that you bring this up, Nick, there you go. Pop goes the weasel. No, all this green push for all this electric crap. Well, the average electric vehicle weighs 2,000 pounds more than a like-kind gas vehicle. So now the roads are actually wearing out faster than they used to.
The answer to that is put on another tax on a gallon of gas.
That's what I would do. 10 cents. But, you know, here's these people. Oh, we got to go green. We got to have electricity. And it's destroying our infrastructure faster than it happened before.
Okay, listen to this. Me driving around town, I notice that when there's a pothole and it's filled, it's not filled up and crowned so the water would run off. It's sunk in. The filling is sunk in about a half an inch to where the water will puddle in where they fixed it.
Yep.
That just seems odd to me. It seems you'd want it crowned so the water doesn't settle in there where the patch is, wouldn't you?
Well, what I've seen roads being patched, because the road to where I live gets patched all the time, they just show up with a shovel of the asphalt, put it in there, and level it off. Okay. Well, the car starts driving over it and compacting it down, so the pothole becomes an inch deep after two or three cars.
And the water settles in there, it loosens up and goes to hell in what, about 5 minutes?
Six. I give them 6 minutes.
Okay, now we've got another...
What do we got, Nick?
We've got another tax.
Uh-oh. Love the taxes.
City of Redding's collecting.
Love the taxes.
This comes from a friend of mine that owns a hangar up at Benton Air Park.
Ah.
I'm going to read this. Nick... Here are some pictures of potholes in the taxiway at Benton. I know for a fact the city receives funding from FAA and Caltrans to make these repairs. However, it has been like this for at least 3 years. Another picture displays tall grass next to the hangars. I believe the city has an ordinance about a 100-foot fire break from a combustible structure. We have 110 planes in these hangars that range from $50,000 to $500,000. The city, I saw the contract. The city is supposed to keep up the landscaping. They had to hire somebody to come in, the hangar owners, to knock down. Our original lease with the city clearly states that the city will maintain the roads and grounds around the hangars. Our lease also limits the use of the hangars not to be used for commercial activities. However, REU charges us a meter deposit that comes to a total of $16,800 per year for commercial meter deposits on the building that we are not approximately $25 per month. Oh, something skipped there anyway. They have another meter that pays for the lighting and the videos up there, and all the hangars split it. It amounts to about $12 a month. But this meter charge is $70 per month per meter. So you have 20 hangars up there plus the one outside. They're collecting a commercial meter reading fee of $70 on each meter, and they can't use it commercially. So my friend takes the contract down to REU and says, you guys are charging us a $7 meter deposit, commercial meter deposit, that on a building that we own that we cannot, we're forbidden by the city to do commercial activities in. And the guy looks at him and he says, are you living in your hangar? And he said, no. He says, then it's a commercial.
No way.
Yes. But here's what you've got to remember. So that total, that comes up to $16,800 per year, and I think that's just the 20. You'd have to add $8,400 more to that because I don't think he counted the video screen and stuff. So you're talking, you know, $17,500 a year being charged for a commercial meter deposit per month, $70 per month, and they can't do anything commercial up there. But, you know, you go down to the Mount Shasta Mall or any mall around town, strip mall, any mall, they all have their own meter, and every one of them pays that $70 commercial meter fee.
Yep.
I think that's theft myself.
Well, and you know, the sad thing is, and we are reminded of it all the time, especially in my business, is, you know, REU is so cheap compared to PG&E. It makes you wonder how much PG&E is charging on that stuff. When you're PG&E, you're in the county, in the city.
Yes.
Yes. So how bad is PG&E ripping you off?
Well, I don't know.
Should check.
I give them my credit card because I don't want to know. No, it just depends on how much you use. You know, my bill usually runs $85 to $100, and then when I'm doing a lot of watering in the summertime, it'll run up to $185, $200.
Well, it's because you're using electricity, sir. You're stuck. I see you're reading something. I can't.
Well, there was another point I wanted to make.
I know. I was leaving the air dead for you, and then you just kind of left it hanging.
I'm scared. I'm lost. I don't know what to do.
Well, I'll fill it up and go, last week we were racing, Nick.
Go ahead.
And the series I race in is called Lemons, and it's hard to explain, but basically it's air quotes budget racing. But we have the fastest car. We have about a 350 horsepower Subaru. So we're hitting about 130 miles an hour down the straightaway.
Where's that at?
This was up in Seattle. So we had to go up to Seattle and Pacific Northwest Raceway. And we've already won two races overall. So it's kind of like when you win, it's like a black mark against you. Now they want other people to win so you don't become dominant. And in a Subaru, believe me, running and actually stay running is a tough thing. So we started the race off. They penalized us with 10 laps. And the car that was behind us, they penalized with 20 because they've won four races. So out of 42 cars, we started 41st place, and the other car started 42nd place, and we didn't even start counting laps until we had lap 11. And so, long story short, it's 14 hours of racing, and at the end of two full days, we missed winning overall first by 55 seconds. We reeled in 10 laps plus, and we just missed first place. So we ended up second place out of 42 cars, but there you go. There's the racing update.
What fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
That sounds exciting as heck. What's the track like? Is it big oval or?
No. It's a 2-mile road course. It's actually where they do the Northwest National Drag Strip. So the straightaway, the front straight's the drag strip. So you're going down the drag strip and then you make this big, long right-hand turn, and you're going through that turn in our car anyways. Other cars, not nearly as fast. But in our car, we're almost 130 miles an hour as we go through the corner. Then you make this 180 super kind of big left turn, and you just start dropping down a hill, which is really cool. So it's fun. It's in the middle of the tree, so if you should do something stupid, you could find yourself into a tree, which is not necessarily a good end. It rained, and we have a kid on our team who is a genuine NASCAR driver. He was the Northwest NASCAR Rookie of the Year last year. Real good driver, good kid. He's on our team. It's not even fair. And he was out in the rain, and he was turning 20 seconds a lap faster than every other car.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So that was fun to watch. So, anyways, there's a racing update for you, Nick.
Speaking of rain, I saw a headline yesterday on Newsbreak Reading.
Yeah.
And we're having these unprecedented storms this late into the season. And rain, thunder, and snow in the Sierras. I think back in high school, we had thunderstorms in June. We'd be riding our little motorcycles. You know, I had a 250 Yamaha, and we'd have to stop and hang out in a telephone booth because it was raining so damn hard, and it'd just last for 20 minutes or a half hour, and away we'd go again. These guys act like it just started here last year.
Well, the thing is, there's a narrative. There is a narrative to try and say the climate is changing. Yes, it is. The climate has been changing since the day the earth was formed. But you talk to some of the old timers who've been here for 40, 50 years, and they will always regale you of stories back in the day. You know, it was 118 degrees for a week straight.
Oh yeah, I was here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you hear that.
Of a breeze in the summer.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, and the thing is the environment and the weather changes, and that's why there has been ice ages, there has been warming,
figured out why we have a breeze.
Why?
All the vegetarians and granola grazers down there in San Francisco are passing gas.
Leave it to Nick. What do you got there, Nick? You're holding paper, buddy.
Oh, this is a deal about crime. No fear of the law equals a society that is falling apart. The reason we have laws is to make crime not worth the punishment.
Yep.
And we've gone in the opposite direction.
I was watching a video, speaking of that, down in Brazil, crime has gotten so bad that you'll have these motorcycles pull up next to people. And there was, I don't know, I saw 15 of these videos. So, you know, and you could go and find a bunch of them if you really search. But crime has gotten so bad in Brazil that these young guys, and it's always guys mostly, pull up next to a car and they try to rob you at gunpoint. And down there, they're now starting to just run over these people.
Oh, they made it legal.
Oh, they're just running over people right now.
Well, they're running over the bad guys.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. So vigilante justice is, in my opinion, we've come back to America. And it won't be necessarily as pleasant as it is in Brazil because, I mean, these guys, there's videos showing somebody getting robbed and a car coming the other direction just plows the motorcycle with both guys on it. One video, the guy came out, pulled his gun out, and people inside the car had a gun.
I sent you that one.
Yeah, that didn't end well. When you talk about crime, when you have no law, all you get is lawlessness.
We're catering to the criminals.
Yeah.
I get the biggest kick out of it. I get the biggest kick. They said, we need to rehab them because locking them up wasn't working. I thought it was working pretty good.
Yeah. When I felt safe on my street, I thought it was pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah. And
you've even got drones up there where you live, up there in Shingletucky.
I do.
Well, yeah, the homeless. They just picked up that one really bad homeless guy up there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, he had warrants out for him. He was a dirty, rotten, low-down polecat coyote, if you ever heard of one.
I might have run into that guy.
Yeah, he probably moved onto your property. I remember you telling me about the problem you had up there.
Oh, yeah, and I was in his dish, and I was yelling at this guy, get off the property, this and that. And finally, when the sheriff showed up and we identified it, the lady goes, sir, word of advice in the future, avoid him. He's probably one of the worst offenders in Shasta County. He has publicly stated he'll shoot a cop. And I said, oh, that's good to know. I'm glad I was yelling at him.
I had that same problem. I lived on West Street about 40 years ago, and they were breaking into my house when I wasn't there. And I went over next door with the police officer. He did a probation check, and he said, Nick, don't go over there. That's real bad people. 6 months later, he stabbed a guy to death up on Lake Boulevard, a good Samaritan college student that was trying to break something up.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, that was good advice from that police officer.
Yeah. Yeah, I know this guy's face. It's burned into my brain. So if I should see him again, I will not be bugging him.
run over it.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.